Well, it's great to be with you again. It's June 2nd, 2023, 1450 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green here. This is a song from 1976, the band called Boston. Their first album, actually, in 1976 it came out. And this song is called More Than a Feeling. Well, I had been assuming that the words, the lyrics that were given for this song would be the same as the lyrics on the official video and the original recording, and they're not. So it's the second verse there was different. The chorus is the same. Back then, of course, in those days when this record was released, I remember hearing it for the first time in my hometown, and I guess it was probably around the same time, 1976, when I first heard it, or later, but it possibly was 1976. But we never had the internet, of course, until 1990 or so. So we couldn't look up lyrics. We didn't know the lyrics unless we had them on the album cover. And I didn't own the album, so I didn't know the lyrics. I heard the song. But I didn't realize that there was a girl called Marianne in the song all these years until recently when I listened to the song and I looked up the lyrics. And sure enough, there's a girl called Marianne in the song. But there weren't a lot, or it was not the majority of songs that had lyrics that could be understood simply by listening. Most songs, you couldn't really hear the lyrics, or you couldn't get the sense of what they were saying by listening. So we didn't know the lyrics, in most cases, anyway. And I didn't know the lyrics to this one. I knew it was something about more than a feeling. We knew that part of it. We knew something about, you know, we could understand, I could understand, I begin dreaming, but I couldn't understand the line about Marianne. That part I didn't hear, or I didn't get that. Yeah, it was a little bit specific, and we wouldn't know, unless you knew that you were listening for the name of a particular person, and unless you knew the name, Marianne, you wouldn't hear it. And you wouldn't learn the name by listening. So, at least I didn't, certainly. I mean, because it could have been something else they were saying that sounded similar to that. It could have been more than one word instead of a single name, for example. You wouldn't be able to discern it. Even if you're English speaking, fully fluent in English, you couldn't get the lyrics by listening to these songs in many cases. So at least I certainly couldn't myself. But this song, it means more to me now that I know the lyrics. It has much more power or interest. Anyway, I'm more interested to know what motivated the band to write this song. I'm very interested to know. But it was at the time, I remember the story. We were told that this band, Boston, recorded this whole album, the whole record album, including this song, in their basement. That was what we heard. And they were one of the first bands to ever record, as far as I knew, to ever record an album in their basement. They were one of the very first. And they managed to get the equipment and somehow figure out how to do it. And they recorded this off-label, so to speak, on their own label or something like that, without a record company, as I understand it. But they did it at home, in a home studio. And we were told it was in their basement, so that was quite a story to hear about that album, because it wasn't the highest quality audio, I don't think. It wasn't the very highest quality audio, but it was very good. So for our study in Wild Road today, it's a very short paragraph, and we have a very short study in the Bible today also. In the Wild Road article, it's part 2, chapter 10, paragraph 10. So, little children, let's read it. When the Apostle Paul wrote about the Lord Jesus, how he had become a king after the manner of Melchizedek, you may have seen that in the Bible, for example, in the book of Hebrews, for example. He said that concerning him, they had much to say and hard to be explained, as there was dullness of hearing. That's Hebrews 5 and 11. We have been explaining history with great difficulty. Information that is sold can never be true. But it may not be understood by everyone, for not all are mature. Before computers, all dates were dependent upon books, and upon the historians who wrote them with some bias. Before the Roman Empire, virtually all dates are hazy. The love the Christ has compels us, because he died in sacrifice for our sins, as though we have been reborn. Footnote 2 Corinthians 5 and 14. Through our understanding of the suffering that Christ endured, we may be strengthened to endure many doubts. None of these things can compare to the love of Jesus. There are still a few more things that I would like to say about the early days of Shinar and Egypt. However, as a believer, let me just add that I believe that all of us both lose and have faith restored continually. That's why we have the saying in the Bible that Jehovah is our rock, right? He gives us stability. And so is Jesus also a rock of stability, an island of stability, a very powerful, very strong, stable person that we can, both of them are stable persons to whom we can turn. Our proverb for today, little children, is from Proverbs chapter 8. Does not wisdom keep calling out and discernment keep giving forth its voice? Now this is talking about wisdom. And this chapter 8 is also known for its reference in, for example, in verse 12 and onward, where the personification of wisdom is a major theme in this chapter. I, wisdom, it says, have resided with shrewdness, and I find even the knowledge of thinking abilities. And further down in verse 22, it says, Jehovah himself produced me as the beginning of his way, showing that there was a creation produced by Jehovah. And that this was the beginning, the first creation of Jehovah. And that is the person whom we also interpret as having been the pre-human Jesus, the personification of wisdom, actually, as well. And it says in verse 27, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. So there was a person with Jehovah. That's why, for one thing, that's one good reason why the name God, or the word God, in Hebrew, the word Elohim, is a plural for excellence. It means excellence in plural, not just singular. There were two beings at the beginning of the creation of the rest of the universe after Jesus was created as a pre-human. Because in verse 30 it says, I came to be beside him as a master worker. There was a worker who worked alongside Jehovah, and that's the one that we consider to be the pre-human Jesus. Because when we look to the book of John, we see there is a reference in John chapter 1, John 1 and 1, or John 1 and, yes, even John 1 and 1, in the beginning the Word was. And John refers to the Word as being a divine creature. In verse 2, this creature was with God in the beginning. And verse 3, all things came into existence through him. And we know that this person was also Jesus, because he talks about it later on, who this person was. The Word became flesh in verse 14 of first chapter of John. And in verse 17, he mentions that it was Jesus Christ about whom he was speaking. So Jesus was this pre-human wisdom who worked alongside God in the beginning to create the universe and everything in it, apart from, of course, himself. You can't create yourself. The next part of our study for today, the last part actually, is Leviticus. We're at chapter 2. And this is short but sweet. So our study will be hopefully again short today. Now, in case some soul would present as an offering a grain offering to Jehovah, his offering should prove to be fine flour, and he must pour oil over it and put frankincense upon it. And he must bring it to the sons of Aaron, the priests, and the priest must grasp from it his handful of its fine flour and its oil, along with all its frankincense, and he must make it smoke as a remembrancer of it upon the altar, as an offering made by fire of a restful odor to Jehovah. And what is left of the grain offering belongs to Aaron and his sons, as something most holy from Jehovah's offerings made by fire. And in case you would present as an offering a grain offering in the way of something baked in the oven, it should be of fine flour, unfermented ring-shaped cakes moistened with oil, or unfermented wafers smeared with oil. And if your offering is a grain offering from off the griddle, it should prove to be of fine flour moistened with oil, unfermented. There should be a breaking of it up into pieces, and you must pour oil upon it. It is a grain offering. And if your offering is a grain offering out of a deep fat kettle, it should be made of fine flour with oil. And you must bring the grain offering that was made of these to Jehovah. And it must be presented to the priest, and he must bring it near to the altar. And the priest must lift off some of the grain offering as a remembrancer of it, and must make it smoke on the altar as an offering made by fire of a restful odor to Jehovah. And what is left of the grain offering belongs to Aaron and his sons, as something most holy of Jehovah's offerings by fire. No grain offering that you will present to Jehovah should be a leavened thing, because you must make no sourdough and no honey at all smoke as an offering made by fire to Jehovah. As an offering of the first fruits, you will present them to Jehovah, and they must not come up onto the altar for a restful odor. And every offering of your grain offering you will season with salt, and you must not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be missing upon your grain offering. Along with every offering of yours, you will present salt. And if you would present the grain offering of the first ripe fruits to Jehovah, you should present green ears roasted with fire, the grits of new grain, as the grain offering of your first ripe fruits. And you must put oil upon it and place frankincense upon it. It is a grain offering. And the priest must make the remembrancer of its smoke, that is, some of the grits and oil, along with all its frankincense, as an offering made by fire to Jehovah. That's the end of our study for today. That's the end of Leviticus chapter 2. Little children, very short, very sweet, no leavened offering would be a burnt offering or would be presented as such, but the first ripe fruits could be leavened, apparently. Or maybe not. It says no grain offering should be leavened, because you must make no sourdough and no honey at all smoke as an offering. But it says, as an offering of the first fruits, you will present them. As an offering of the first fruits, you will present them to Jehovah. But the first fruits was not mentioned with regard to these other offerings. Unless the first fruits refers to all of these offerings. But it doesn't say that. It sounds like all of these things are first fruits, offering of the first fruits. That's what it sounds like, because that would be the time when you'd want to be grateful to Jehovah, was when you made the harvest for the first part of the harvest during the year, right? You'd want to, that'll be when your gratitude would be the strongest. You'd be grateful for the harvest, and you'd want to offer some of the first fruits. So seems logical, but Right. That's right. So this should not be leavened either, because it was to be offered on the altar, because the priest would make it smoke as an offering made by fire in verse 15 and 16. So that's right. So even this first ripe fruits offering to Jehovah in verse 14 obviously could not be leavened, because it was clear from verse 11 that nothing leavened could be made to smoke on the altar, nor could any honey in verse 11. Not as an offering made by fire. So, but it says here, they could present some of their first fruits offering to Jehovah in the form of leavened bread, but they could not come up onto the altar. In verse 12. So it's very interesting what the law of Moses teaches us. It gives us so many new ways to think about things. But every offering had to be seasoned with salt if it was of a grain offering. As an offering of the first fruits, they would present these offerings in verse 12, and they could be leavened if they did not come up onto the altar. But they could be presented to Jehovah, to the priests. Very interesting. Some of the offerings made to Jehovah could be leavened as long as they did not come up onto the altar, and they weren't burnt or offered as a burnt offering. So that's the end of our study for today. Little children, I hope you enjoyed that. I love you deeply. Thank you for listening and watching. It's going to be a short day today, I think, for the study, but that's fine. But I mean, I could talk about a watch. I think I want to talk about my watch, actually. This new watch, Ellie, it's a Longines. It's a Longines L2.773.4.78.3. I've put my own strap on her, but the amazing thing about this watch, I can't even show you because you wouldn't see it all, but I want to tell you what she has. She's got a chronograph, a 12-hour chronograph. I haven't run it yet for 12 hours. I'll have to do that. But she's got a 12-hour chronograph. She has a 66-hour power reserve. She's got a silicon hairspring or balance spring, right? The spring that drives the watch. Silicon. She's got a movement that's the L687.5 with the silicon hairspring. It's amazing. She's got a moon phase, a dedicated moon phase, not the sun and moon, but the moon phase right at the bottom of the watch is the moon phase function. And that is working right now to tell us we're near the full moon coming up in actually 2 days, is it? I think. What is it lunar day? I don't have the application running. Let me see. I've got it running somewhere. Where is it? Okay, let me see if I can get it. Here it is. Yeah. It's lunar day. Oh, we're at lunar day 15. So tomorrow is full moon, I believe. Yeah, tomorrow will be full moon. Virtually everywhere on the Earth, it will be full moon. So tomorrow. So this, it's just about full moon on my watch now. It's telling me it's just about full moon, but I don't have a macro lens to show you this. The moon is coming up into the center of this, strange, it's not visible. It's not visible on the watch, but the moon's right in the center of this dark patch within the circle there. There's a dark patch with a point in the middle of it. There's a shiny moon right in the center of that. Maybe you could see it there it is. You can see it. There's the moon. They're right there. It's becoming full. This is a mirror image on what I'm looking at. Not sure if you, I think you're going to get a mirror image too when you see it. But that's the moon phase. That's also the 12-hour chronograph dial around the perimeter. And at the top of the watch, beautiful Ellie, there's the day of the week is in an abbreviated form, FRI. The day of the week, right at the top on the left. For me, it's the left anyway, right here. And then on the right, so it says J-U-N for June. So I see Friday, June. And this this crescent-shaped hand has a crescent on the end of it. That is pointing to the number 2 because it's the second day of June. And, of course, the chronograph's not running right now. But it just works with these pushers on the side. Start, stop, and then reset. And on the 9 o'clock dial, there's a small second hand that runs continually because the main second hand is for the chronograph. This main second hand is for the chronograph. But the small second hand runs continually as the smaller of the two hands at 9 o'clock. The larger of the two hands at 9 o'clock indicates the 24-hour time. So it's indicating that it's, even though we can also read the time on the main hands, it's, what time is it? It's the two hands are they aligned? I can't read the time because the hands are so well aligned with each other. What time is it? Yeah, it's just about 15, 17 hours roughly. So the hour and the minute hands are pretty well aligned with each other, so they're difficult to see them. But you can read the time on the watch normally without any trouble. Very beautiful dark blue hands on a white dial. Perfect contrast for dimly lit rooms like where I am. But also, the 24-hour clock tells me that it's nearly, or just after actually. It better be just after. What is that? Oh yeah, it's after 1500 hours. It's coming up towards 1600 hours on the 24-hour dial at 9 o'clock here. It should be closer to 1500 hours. I'm not sure how accurate that is. It's probably pretty accurate though. It's hard to see because the numbers are very tiny. And there's no indices for the numbers. Just there are indices in between numbers, so the 1500 hour indice is there, and then there's the number 16, but there's no indice, so you have to gauge it by eye and see how far it is between the different hours on that dial. There are 0, 15, 30, and 45 second markers on the, or numbers on the small second hand dial on the 9 o'clock position. And is that it? That's all. I think that's all. It does all those things, but so it has numbers from 1 to 31 around the perimeter so that the crescent-shaped hand, the tip of the hand being a crescent shape, can point at these numbers and tell you what day of the month it is. So it's a wonderful watch with a 66-hour power reserve. So it's the highest power reserve I currently have on any watch. But this was a $4,000 watch, and that's a bargain price because it's a Swiss watch. The movement is Swiss, which is the best in the world, basically. But then it's such a complicated watch that to pay for a Swiss watch which has this many complications, any other watch would be, I mean, seriously, $20,000, but probably more than $20,000 for any other Swiss watch brand. So this is a remarkable thing that Longines has produced here for $4,000. And because it's such a bargain, that's why I wanted to own this. I could never have spent, I could have spent more, but I never would have spent more for a watch unless it was a really good value, right? It's value that's important. You have to get something for your money, and this certainly provides a lot for the money compared to any other watch, but also it's Swiss. So for $4,000, it's sort of underpriced by a huge amount. It could be $40,000. Well, if it was a Patek Philippe, I mean, it would be in the hundreds of thousands range easily, because that's how much they do cost in general for many of their watches. They're just not very low price in their market value. But what a wonderful watch this is for the price. It's just remarkable. And it's not fancy. There's no gold on this. It's stainless steel. Nothing fancy about the watch. They didn't attempt to make this a luxury watch. It's not a luxury watch. It's functional. It's in no way luxury. It gives you the day of the week, the month, the day of the month, the moon phase. You've got a chronograph. You have the standard 12-hour time. And you have 24-hour time in the second hand that runs continually. Am I forgetting anything? Day of the week, the month, and the day of the month. I mean, in case I forgot to say some of that, but that's it. It's all very functional and practical. It's not luxury in any sense. There's no diamonds. There's no gold. There's nothing expensive about it. And that's how they kept the price down. But it's also Swiss, which they take great care in the construction of their movements, and everything is done with great care in Switzerland when they make these watches. So that's why they cost a lot of money. Now, the Chinese watches are incredible, and they're going to be more and more incredible in China, because once they learn how to keep things, as good as the way the Swiss do it, once they learn how to keep things free of all the dust or whatever gets into the movement when they're making it, the things that cause issues, once they learn to build each part with care, like the Swiss do, the Chinese movements are going to be far and away the better value, because they're going to be much less money, since the labor costs in China are so much less. Now, I've already got this the PT5000 movement, which is, it's a high beat. It means it runs at 28,000 beats per minute, 28,800 beats per minute. It's a high beat for the cost of $138 I paid for that watch, $138, and it's running at 28,800 beats per minute. And it's right now, it's exactly running on time. It's not even 1 second off. And that's because it's positionally, after I regulated it, positionally I can keep it on time by tilting it one way or another when it's waiting to be worn. So, I mean, that watch is an impressive movement inside it. It has an impressive movement made by Hong Kong Precision, and that's a Chinese movement. It's the PT5000, but it's a high beat. This one, I believe, must be a high beat. It must be a high beat for this price, but maybe, I don't know. I'm not even sure now. But it must be, I think, a high beat. Let me check. I'm going to check. Should be easy to check this. I think it's going to be very easy to check it if I don't make any mouse slips or anything. Let's see. Here it is. Okay. We're going to find out what we know from... There's the product page right here. Is it going to tell us? Not sure. Let's see if we can find out from the product page. Is it going to tell me? It doesn't tell me on the product page what the beat... Let's see... frequency is of the beat. They're not going to tell me on that page, because that's not a general consumer thing. I'm going to go to the website, I think. The Longines website. It'll tell me there, maybe, if I've recorded it. properly. Movement and function. Oh, I can't because I didn't save that part of it. Okay. Where can I find that out? Let's see. Well, here we go. Yeah, here. I'll look up the movement. That's the key. Look up the movement. It's going to tell me. Why is it not telling me? That's the watch. Right. There it is. Here it is. 28.8. Yeah, it's 28,800. I knew it had to be. But now, if you buy one of these particular watches that is using the 687.2 movement, which is not the same one as the 687.5, obviously, this is an earlier version of that same movement, then it will only have 54 hours of reserve power, whereas this 687, the L687.5, has 66 hours, so it's got even more reserve power. But they're both going to be with 25 joules, I believe, and with certainly with 28,800 beats per minute, which is a high beat. It's called a high beat because that's about the highest frequency that mechanical watches will beat at, as far as mechanical watches go. That gives them the potential to have more accuracy, you see, as well. I mean, they beat more times per minute. It gives them more flexibility, but that usually doesn't bode well for the power reserve. And a watch doesn't have to have a high beat frequency in order to be a great watch. I've got the Orient Star watch that I've got with the F7M63 movement. It's only a 21,000 beat per minute movement, I believe. I can probably find that information too. But I don't even think I found, for that watch, I don't believe I ever found the information on it. In the database, it was hard to find this information on the details of the movement. Here it is. Here's something I have about the movement here. What does it say? This is from a place who sells them. They're not giving that information. Yeah, they don't give it. No, not there, but let's see. Where else could I find it? You see, they don't believe that the general consumer needs to know that. I think that's the reason, but they might sometimes give that information. You never know. No, I don't see it. But I can find out because when I put it on my time grapher, it tells me. Orient Star website. Let's go there. Did we go there already? Let's see. There it is, 21,600 vibrations per hour, 22 joules for that one. These are all automatic watches. I have three. Is it three that are not automatic? Three that are not automatic. Let me see. Right, let me see here. There we go. Let's see. I've got Gully, a watch made by Suges, with the Chinese movement, the ST1902 chronograph movement. That is a hand-wind watch. It's not automatic. Phibie is my Russian watch, the Amphibian Vostok watch. That's hand-wind only. And what else? What else have I got that's hand-wind only? They're the only two? They might be the only two that I've got. I'm trying to think. What's this other? Oh, that's Ellie, right? Ellie, Annie, Sissy, Star. They're all automatic. Rolly was automatic, but doesn't work anymore. Willie is automatic. That's the PT-5000 movement. Cammy is automatic. Moppy's automatic. That's the Seiko NH35 movement. By the way, Cammy has got the F6922 Orient movement in her. Phoebe has the 2416 movement, the Vostok watch, made by Poljot. I'm probably not pronouncing it right. Poljot, maybe? Poljot. Poljot's the manufacturer of the 2416. That's not automatic in Phoebe. And Crow has an automatic movement, the Hamilton H21, which is based on, by the way, the Valjoux 7750. That's worth mentioning. I believe the Longines watch, I'm trying to think, there's another one based on a Valjoux. Okay, let's look at that again. The Longines, the database that we got for the movement there. This one here. What's it based on? Yeah, the 7751. So the Longines Ellie that I'm wearing, the Ellie's movement, which is the L687.5, is based on the Valjoux 7751, which is a revised version of the 7750, upon which the Hamilton H21 is based, which is present in my watch Crow. So Crow has the 7750-based movement, the H21. Now, Dusty has the Sellita SW200-1, which is made by Sellita. And that's another Swiss movement. So the Swiss movements that I have are Dusty, Crow, and Ellie, this one here. They're the three Swiss movements. I've got a Russian movement in Phoebe. I've got a Japanese movement in Moppy, and a Japanese movement in Cami, as well as in Star. They're both Japanese by the company Orient, whereas Moppy has the Seiko movement. Gully has the Chinese movement, the ST1902. Willie has the Chinese movement from Hong Kong, the PT5000. And Rolly had the ST16, a Chinese movement, but the watch is not running. And Ellie, as we mentioned, has the Longines movement that's based on the Valjoux 7751. Annie has, and also Sissy, they both have the Miyota movement 8285, but only one of them is hacking, which means you can only stop the second hand on one of them, which is Annie. But they're both the Miyota 8285 in different configurations or versions of the Miyota 8285, with the day date at the top, the same as it's the same as Rolly had, but Rolly's not working. That they were the three that had the date. I wouldn't have gotten Annie, nor would I have gotten Sissy if Rolly hadn't failed, if Rolly had not stopped working, because I loved the day date at the top, and when that failed in Rolly, then I wanted to buy at least one more and make sure that I got one that worked. So I bought two different watches to make sure I could get the day date at the top that would work for me. So I love you, as I mentioned, and I'm telling you that again just so you remember it. Also, it's June 2nd, 2023. The time is 15:34 hours. I know I talked a lot about watches today, but I hope you appreciate that. If you're at all interested in mechanical watches, because these are mechanical, there's no electric, no battery in these watches. So for me, it's Ellie and Phoebe saying bye for now.